Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. Merry Christmas to you all listening, wherever you are, especially if you are in the District of Columbia, the state of Maryland, or the Commonwealth of Virginia. And if you're not hearing anything else but the sound of my voice right now, it is because, as of right now, I am alone. I do not have the services of my usual broadcast partner right now. I have chased her away because, well, that's what I do is annoy to no end. But I have mixed me a special concoction that will hopefully bring her back. So I will down that right now. Oh, yeast mode. That was for you, Bernie.
And just like that, I appear.
Oh, wow. I didn't even have to chant my spell.
That's a good thing.
Mermaid, by the sea.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, but she's here now. And as you can hear, hopefully you can hear, that is the voice of the... I got to look up my list here because I've lost track.
You can absolutely shorten it to just Anna Knox. All good.
Just plain Anna Knox?
Well, I'm not plain, but just, yeah.
Oh, you're, no, okay. You're not plain.
Whatever, you're not plain. Whatever floats your boat on the last episode of 2018 for Power Play Point Podcast, you'll do your thing.
You would stick out, you're so not plain, you would stick out at an Amish, wherever it is Amish people live.
How's that beer? Good. Good stuff, right?
Very, very good. Very good. I would recommend drinking it fast or slow. And I did both. Anyway, that, of course, is the voice you are hearing of the beautiful, wonderful Anna Knox, who is my usual co-host, who has consented to join us once again and has been doing so for a while.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Anna?
I am doing amazing. And I'm going to say Merry Christmas, Happy Festivus, whatever you celebrate this time of year, just do you. Do it, have fun, have cocktails, be with friends, don't be a jerk.
Be you.
That's it.
Do you, do whoever.
Yeah. Yeah, the do you, you know, do whoever is definitely... for the younger generation, you know, you're at a bar and you meet somebody. Just kidding. Totally kidding. But anyways, so yeah, it is Christmas. And last year, boy, this episode was, I don't know what to call it. Clusterfuck. but it was a damn hilarious. So we're trying again. I don't think I'm as far into the cocktails as Gil is. But I'm rolling with it, and I'm drinking as we talk, so we'll see what happens by the end of the episode.
No cocktails for me. Big.
A big Dos Equis. Right?
4.2 Elk Vol, genuine cowhide. Oh, here it is. 24 Fulls. Full of Oz. It's full of Oz, and so I'm going to be taken to Never Never Land very, very soon. I also have my trusty Christmas drink of Southern Comfort made eggnog and Di Serrano amaretto. Say that 50 times fast. Well, it worked last year.
It did work last year. All I'm going to say is I don't know, maybe I'm in this weird percentage of people, but I think eggnog is fucking gross. So I forgot you had that last year. You had a lot of it last year.
Oh, plenty.
Yeah. Wow.
Not so much. Like, not so much this year. Not so much this year. But
okay. So you're starting with it, two beers in that can, and then you're going to the eggnog.
The spiked eggnog. Yeah.
All right, so like a little Dos Equis foreplay, and then you're going into the good stuff. All right.
Only describe it like that.
It's all good. It's all good. It's exactly
but
what
yes,
it is. I'm just
the inebriated episode is back for 2018, in case you were wondering. Now, I must apologize beforehand if you hear perhaps a little grunting and groaning. That's Mr. Producer Jeffrey, who is acting as the timekeeper at the bell for this episode, because we are indeed limited, because the wonderful Anna Knox does have plans this holiday.
Yes, I'm entertaining tonight, which I love to do. So I spent all day doing nothing and then decided, you know, to clean and prep food and whatever the last hour or so. So yeah, it'll be the Miller's Cane last year, and Stephanie's who I went with to the big stick event last Friday. And so I'm looking forward to spending Christmas Eve with them again.
Awesome. And yep, Stephanie's a fan of the show. And so, yeah, that's great. So say hi to her for me. Also, if you hear a tiny rush of padded feet and a little meow, I will not apologize, because that is the romping of the newest member of the the Blue Liner family, and that is BJ the cat. I like to call him BJ Oshi, because he's scored all of the hearts in this house. And you know me.
All right, but who named him BJ?
Okay, well, a bit of a funny story, real quick on that. So if you haven't figured it out, Mr. Producer Jeffrey is actually my stepson. Sorry to break kayfabe there, but we all decided to get a cat, and he wanted to give him the name James. And we weren't all in agreement on that, and I kind of wanted to name him Buddy, or Buzzy, because, well, he's basically a purr box, and Mrs. Blue Liner suggested Motorboat because of all the noise he makes when he purrs. So it was whittled down to Buddy James and then BJ, because he kind of looks like, somehow he looks like a BJ. So yeah, that's how it came to be.
How do you look like a BJ?
That's way looks like a BJ.
Yeah, I didn't need to have this conversation while I'm drinking. Okay, mind out of the gutter. Okay, well, but you know how I am.
You'll
you
go there, but I won't go there.
No, you won't. And I won't offend your family. I'm beyond excited for that cat, because, you know, there's so many animals out there that do need loving homes. And I know you guys will give BJ an amazing home. And
yep,
so, and that's great. And on it, and see, and now if I would have known this, I would have accepted the free cat toys they were handing out at the Big Stick on Friday night. And I was like, no, I'm a dog person. I've got, you know, my rescue at home. And the dog things went so fast, but they had a bunch of kitty things.
Time. Now you know. Now, okay.
Now
you ever
I
come
know.
Across, yes, anything like that? Yes, we will gladly accept them. Although the house, the digs here at Glen Burnie is rapidly filling up with a lot of his stuff. he's got his own water fountain. He's got one of the first things we got him was a scratching post.
But is it one of those cool, like, scratching posts that is like four levels and looks like a condo?
Well, he's got his own cat condo now. Got one of them recently. God. So
this is, you know, when people say, "Oh, cats are amazing," and I agree. Like, we've already said it, and I will never take it back. I'm a huge animal lover. I just am not a cat fan. And people will say, "Oh, how could you not like them?" I'm like, because I think they're assholes. Like, they just can be so arrogant. And, you know, it's like a dog doesn't need to have a scratching post condo. A dog just is, you know, goofy and wants to just, you know, have unconditional love. And a cat is like, "I'll schedule you in when it's convenient for me to acknowledge you in the room." That's how I feel. But again, the fact that you adopted the cat, I love. I know Jeffrey will be amazing with it. So good for you. But I just, yeah, the Knoxes will never have a cat because I'm like, ugh.
All right. Well, fair enough. That's yet another point where we differ. Imagine that, the two of us disagreeing on something.
Shocking.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, okay. So for those of you that are still listening, let's go ahead and get to the hockey. There were, according to the calendar, three games that were played. Caps came away with a 2-1 record in that. The first game that we covered after a 3-day layoff was the Wednesday night game. Oh, imagine that, covered by NBC, which immediately gave Mrs. Blue Liner fits of the stomach because she absolutely cannot stand the NBC coverage. And after about 10 minutes of it, I could see why. But it is Wednesday night.
You have to, I mean, for people listening, and they have to be shaking their heads too, because I guess I just don't understand how the commentating is acceptable. There isn't anybody on when the Penguins play that I want to listen to. Nobody. Like, luckily I didn't have to hear Mike Milbury this much this episode, which is great, but God, it's fucking annoying. So, all right, Miss Blue, I'm with you on that one because I'm over it too. Usually I wind up muting it because I can't stand it. So sorry, Gail, you were getting into the highlights.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so fortunately or unfortunately, whichever point of view you want to take on this, lots of shots, not as many goals. 62 shots total from both teams, only 3 goals. So both the goalies were on fire. So that's going to make the recap go by real fast. First period, no goals. Second period, Lars Eller opens the scoring at 6:38 with a wrister assisted by who? This is the part where you say, "My Tommy boy."
Oh, my Tommy boy number 43.
With his seventh assist of the season. So that makes it 1-0. And then about 2.5 minutes later, on the power play, some guy named Sidney Crosby.
Blah, blah, blah. 16.
Yada, yada, yada. Ties the game.
No. No one cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. And then with about a minute left to play, Brian Russ from said Flightless Birds gets his seventh with a backhand, and that would turn out to be the game-winning goal because try as they might, the Caps couldn't hit the net. At least square in the whole third period. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a typical Penguins game. You know, I feel like when the Capitals play them, it's 100% or nothing. And, you know, the 100% is what we saw, you know, May of last year. And they, God, you know, came out and that was it. Everybody was given 100%, and there were no sloppy passes, and there were no mistakes and whatever. And this one just wasn't happening. And But I will tell you, so those highlights. So, yes, my Tommy knocked that guy out. I don't even want to say his name because he's a jerk, but it was awesome. Clean hit. You've been egging him on all year. And
yeah, I wasn't – honestly, I wasn't even going to mention that because I think Tom's at the stage of his career where he doesn't want or want to invite at least any more negative attention.
But this,
I mean,
wasn't even negative. This is just straight up, listen, the guy that – how do you say his last name?
Alexiak.
Okay, I was like, God, I was like right on the tip of my tongue.
Who's had more to drink at this point?
Right. Well, apparently you still, but okay. But he's been, he's an asshole last year.
But I can say his name, and you can't.
No, I can't. But you can say Jacob Rana for the longest time.
Say my name.
Anyways. Only because I'm in the Christmas spirit and letting that one go. yeah. So it was, but it, you're going to, if you're seriously going to go toe to toe with somebody, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
quit being an asshole and throwing your weight around like you think you're something awesome. And you're going to go and pick on Tom Wilson, and this is what he does, and he's, he's so much stronger than he was any previous season, just doing his thing. And he's not out there to fight. But if you're going to start it with him, it was 55 seconds into the game, drop the gloves, knock the guy out. That's on him. And now, of course, it's like, oh, he's out with a concussion. Well, you know what? Enough. I'm glad they didn't. It didn't extend into some stupid suspension and whatever else. But I will say, aside from that, since you don't want to talk about it, the Ovechkin Crosby interaction, hands down, my favorite part of the night. I hope. Did you see it?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it was. It's been quoted verbatim and to death. And yeah, so if you're not sure what it is we're talking about, and I'm sure you are, basically after the fight and Oleksiak got his whipping, Sidney Crosby claimed later that he was chirping up the referee, but he claimed later that he was trying to ascertain why there was no instigator penalty charged against Wilson. And Ovechkin basically said, well, hey, shut up, stop talking, and started chirping at him back. But what was heard was Sidney Crosby saying to him, well, why don't you go ahead and fight Oleksiak? Why weren't you there? Why didn't you jump in? Basically, Ovechkin's response was, all right, well, why don't you fight me?
Okay.
And by all accounts, yes, exactly. That shut him up. That shut the whiny little bastard up.
Right.
And
I don't care who dislikes
that comment. Go piss up a rope for all I care.
Piss up a rope.
You heard me.
Okay. You go get him, Gil. I'd be afraid of you if I saw you in an alleyway. You're like, what? You told me to go piss up a rope.
Yeah, piss up a rope. You never heard that expression?
Apparently not. But yeah, but that's, again, it's right there. It is, you're going to talk the talk, then let's see you follow through, Crosby. And you don't. All of a sudden, it's just completely dropped. You don't see Ovechkin pushing and shoving a little bit because Chris Letang's a bitch and he asked for it behind the net and all that kind of stuff. But you don't see Crosby, he would just be flat out.
Bullshit refereeing, bullshit play,
again,
bullshit bias,
yeah,
on the whole thing. But let's not bog down into that too much. We all saw it. We all know what happened. Just go through the vitals here and be done with it. Shots on goal, as I said, 62 total, pretty much split down the middle, slight edge to the Caps, 32-30. Face-off performance. Oh, gee, ye ves. As ye ves, ye god, as Yogi Jorgensen would say. 60.7% win percentage for the Flightless Birds versus 39.3 for the Caps.
Yeah, what's gonna like? That'll be another conversation. I'm sorry for the background noise. I'm refilling my drink.
It's fine. It's fine. You go.
We'll have to talk about that. Another episode.
You betcha. Power play was abysmal. It was an abomination. It was another AB word that you can think of and stick in there, whatever you want to stick in there. 1-for-4 for the Penguins, 0-for-5 for the Capitals. And this is why, I didn't like the job that the refs did, but you know what? There comes a time where you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I could have done more, and they didn't. And Caps have been a top-tier power play for many years now, and you get 5 chances, you got to capitalize on 1. I'm sorry. And they didn't. They just didn't do it.
I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. It was an embarrassment.
Yep.
Especially
very much so.
Team.
Yeah.
Especially with that team.
Yeah. You got to put one in. When you get that many chances, you got to at least put one in. And I'm sorry, they didn't do it. Very physical game, 23-24 in the hit department, slight edge to the Caps. Lots of shots, so lots of blocks on both sides. Giveaways way less by the Penguins, takeaways a little bit more for the Caps. So very back and forth, up and down, north, south, jiggle your ante, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Very entertaining game to watch despite the low score, but not the result so much. So Caps, judging by the shots on goal per period, is like a certain Harry Chapin song. This builds up with intensity and excitement. 8-10-14, so they're really poured it on by the third period. But not too little, but definitely too late. And yeah, we all know what happened. So thus endeth that game. But you know what? I'll take a regular season loss from them any day, as long as we get another chance to kick their ace during the playoffs. So done.
Agreed.
With that. Moving on.
Moving on. I'm ready.
The next game, which was that Friday, also mm-hmm. at Cap 1 against the Buffalo Sabres. So jumping into that, probably one of my favorite goals of the year to open this game. 2:50 into the second, no scoring in the first, but 2:50 in the second. Caps go down for a penalty. Let me see. Jonas Siegenthaler tripped Connor Sheary, thus putting the Caps in a shorthanded situation. But who should come to call but Chandler Stephenson with his third of the year on a shorty on a beautiful pass. You might want to say Nick Dowd, who assisted on that goal, had his Skittles on because he tasted the rainbow on that one. Nice pass over the stick of the defender.
Say that.
Well, I just did, so too late.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so Stephenson corrals the pass at center zone, gets over on a breakaway, and goes to the forehand, not his usual backhand, as he made a point of saying during the presser at the end of the game, and puts it away for the 1-0 lead. Unfortunately, that would not hold, as next period, 9:01 to be exact, Larson gets his third of the year, assisted by my favorite Scooby-Doo villain, Rasmus Ristorainen. Raggy!
Moving on.
Faster, Scoob! You didn't catch him! Yes, moving on. So that tied it up 1-1. Almost exactly 4 minutes later, you got to love the timing, 13 minutes even into said period, when who should arrive on the scene but Mr. Tom Wilson with his 10th with a wrister to put it away for the win. Game-winning goal. I'd love to know if I had time to look it up. I would say that's his at least third game winner of his abbreviated season.
Could be. I think that you might be right.
That sounds about right. But yeah, anyway, yep. So another 2-1 game. This time the good guys come away with the good side of the squeaker on that one. Vitals 37-24. Wow. Yeah, that's I didn't like seeing that. Did not like seeing that very much. But Braden Holtby, the man, did his job for sure, stopping 36 of 37 on that one. Faceoffs, much better performance by the Caps in this one, nearly 55% win percentage. Power play still, kind of like a 78 Chevy, just couldn't get started. 0-4 on that one, but PK at least stopped the four chances given by the Sabres. Very physical game, but Caps coming out big, 19-6 on the hit department. 19 block shots for the Caps as well. Well, you know what? You're going to give up a lot of shots. You're going to block a lot of shots. And I would like to think that the Caps were loading up on the Asper cream after that because of all those block shots. Kind of a bad possession game for the Caps, probably hence begetting all of those shots. Say that 10 times fast. 18 giveaways, 9 takeaways, but 14 takeaways for the Sabres recorded by the official scorer. Yeah, it's a no good, as my friend Pepe used to say. It's a no good. It's a no good, Gil. You tie that to very wrong. So, yeah, I didn't like the possession game, but, you know, when it's a close game like that, mistakes are what counts in capitalizing. Shots by period. Looking on the Cap side, it looks like a goat went after and some sort of factory and went to town. 888-888. I don't know. Also, maybe the results of a Weight Watchers meeting. I don't know. But 8 each period, the 24, yeah, just didn't like the output, but they scored when it counted. So I guess I don't want to say better lucky than good, but you know what? The defense and Braden Holtby especially held. So that's the good part.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't this Barakowski's first game back.
You know what? I think you're right. You were right. Absolutely right about that. It was his first game back. And, so for those of you who are asking, why are we, even injecting his name into this? Well, that is because he had been, a spectator for many, many games. At least, 3 or 4 to count. Now in this game, he got 11 shifts for a total of 8 minutes and 56 seconds on the ice time, but he made the most he could make. I think he looked fairly strong for what little time he did get. So he's coming along.
Just an enigma player. I mean, he really is, because had Riordan decided to give him more minutes, if we had seen, you know, better playing, I don't know. I just don't know what to do with him, except, you know, I don't want to see him. I don't dislike him. I'm always on the fence with Orlov, and then I'm always will be. And I know he's had some amazing plays and hits and whatever in the past seasons. This season, I'm not seeing number 9 impressing me at all. And 65, I want to pull for. I really, really do. But I don't know. I mean, he came out, and I mean, 8 minutes is, you know, that's, I don't know. Then again, it's like, well, you know, it's 8 minutes. Is that fair to say that you expect to see a lot from him? Or wow, you were given 8 minutes after you've been benched for a couple of games. So, you know, get the fuck up and do your thing to prove that you need to be second, third line, you know, whatever it is at this point. I don't know. I'm just, Andre, I'm on the fence with, I like him. There's so much potential, but I'm just, you know, teetering with that one. So I don't know. I don't like when they have, like, who they have to sit out healthy scratches when he comes in, when they've been doing so well. Like, my number 23, you know, he was out, Bowie was out, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I get that. And listen, I okay, so yes. Anna and I, if you're new to the show, actually discussed this long before this even became a thing, which it started to about a week or so ago, what to do with Burakovsky. And yes, we are both aware that, yes, right now he's pretty much trade bait. There have been official reports that a certain team may be looking to trade for him. And is looking to make a deal, blah, blah, blah. Yes, there's a reason why we here at the Triple P didn't go over that. It's because we'd already talked about his time on the team and what he needs to do and where his future lies. I finally decided my future lies. Not on the Caps. Okay. No. I'm just saying, nothing official yet, but... you know, we didn't want to waste too much time talking about that because we'd already discussed it. And, you know, I'm kind of pulling for him too, because I don't want to think that we wasted a first round draft pick on this guy. But as I have said, you know, if his playing career is an hourglass, if his time with the Caps is an hourglass, the grains of sand on the top half are starting to run very low. So
he needs to make straight up hit Days of Our Lives status at this point. So, yeah, no, I agree. And again, it's like, you know, how long do you let it go for when, you know, the other options to play have really proved themselves. So, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay,
so I'm going to make a bold inebriated prediction here. He needs to improve his game, and if he does not, then he will probably be gone by the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, you know, and as much as I can, I'm sure, come off as a complete bitch the majority of the time on the show, when it comes I know, shocking.
No.
You should see that what my students write about me. I'm just kidding.
No.
No. But yet you still met me for lunch on Saturday, so it's got to count for something.
Yeah, you're right.
But I feel like I'm on that cusp of, you know, I want to give him a chance, but is it, you know, is there somebody that could fill, you know, his skates, for lack of better words, to kick ass and keep going? And does he just need to, you know, put aside the bromance, the Michael Lotta and Tom Wilson, Andre Burakovsky bromance that everybody loved a couple years ago, and, you know, Tommy thinks he's like his younger brother. Does he need to just go somewhere and start completely fresh? Maybe. Maybe that's going to clear, you know, the cobwebs. And because when he's on, he's on. But unfortunately, when you don't know when that's going to happen, it's a risk at, you know, a W or an L. So that becomes a problem.
Yeah,
bottom line is I want to see this kid succeed wherever he is. And I really, really hope it's with the Capitals, but if not, you know, best of luck forever. I love, how can you not love 65? He doesn't fight, he doesn't shit talk, he's not an asshole, he's like all these great things, and then plus he's got the skills, but unfortunately he's also got that mental block, so.
There, once upon a time, there was a similar head case named Alexander Semin, who we hung on to maybe a bit too long. But except Burakovsky is not giving us anywhere near the same results. So, yeah, I'm sorry. You have to wonder why they're hanging on to him. And that's why I say, well, I mean, it's been, what, 3 years now? Going on 3 years at least. And that's why I say, come the All-Star break, if he hasn't put himself, strung himself together a good streak of games with some solid results here. And, you know, we're not talking, I'm sorry, we need more than 8 minutes of, oh, wow, he looked good and didn't embarrass himself. No, he's got to, you know, he's got to put up at least, I would say, second or third line type of results and consistency. And if not, he's going to find himself either traded or waived. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where he's at.
I agree. All right, so let's move on to Ottawa.
Yes. Glorious game that was.
Really was fantastic because two of my favorites scored. Oh, my God. Yay.
Yep.
The Knox household
for sure
was happy.
Yep. And so just jumping right into it, Brett Connolly scores his eighth to open the scoring, 1:32 in the first. He's like the local barber. He took the tip and got it in. Siegenthaler with his second assist of the year on that.
How is that like a local barber?
Because he took the tip. He takes tips. There's a tip-in shot.
So I think you can think of another way to phrase that if you're going to use that example.
I'll think of something. Okay. Anyway, okay, so let's see here. So that makes it 1-0. Oh boy, that makes it 1-0 Caps.
How's that eggnog?
It's pretty good. I finished it already. Okay, so 17:56 into the same period, Matt Niskanen gets his fifth. On a beautiful pass, beautiful passing play by Ovechkin and Backstrom. Backstrom especially to find him charging towards the net. And so like a timid porn star, he also took the tip. Was that better?
No.
Well,
like a timid porn star? Like they...
Yeah, because he's only putting in the tip.
Mm-hmm. I need you to redeem yourself on the next one and watch yourself. Well, it's not a tip in on the next one, so I don't know.
No,
how
it's
you
not.
Redeem yourself, but I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. But you'll
no, it's not. But
think of something clever.
The third goal scored by Jacob Vrana with his 11th unassisted. If I remember right, this was the breakaway goal that he had. Showing off his speed, hence unassisted. 9:05 into the second, and it was a wrister. He was not the begging bartender on that one, taking tips. No, he streaked through the middle and got the wrister in, and to cap off the scoring, which actually ended in the second period. Number six, Michael Kempney with his third, assisted by Brett Connolly to make it 4-0 Washington with a wrister. And that was another good goal. Rare. Michael Kempney doesn't take a whole lot of shots, but when he does, they're usually very well placed, as was this one. So
I agree, but I think the two games prior, though, we were seeing more penalties from him, especially in the Sabres game.
Yeah,
more penalties from Kempe than what we had seen before, and so it was like, what's going on with number six? Like, come on. And you know, he's not the fighter, he's damn good. Like you said, when he scores, it's usually a pretty phenomenal shot. So
yeah,
I was glad to see that with this game against Ottawa, and that he, you know, finally was able to kind of shine through on the W end of it and not so much in the penalty box. So that was good. And, you know, I do love me some Michael Kempe. So
that you
proud. Do. Yeah. Good looking guy. Anyway, mm-hmm. Did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Crazy.
But I'm surprised you didn't point this out to me. Did you see the picture of him and Orlov on the bench?
No.
No?
Him and Orlov on the bench?
Him and Orlov on the bench together. The camera was at their backs, though. So it showed their numbers. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, you know what? Yes. It was a fantastic 69 shot. Yes. I was thinking it was something else, but yes, it was a fantastic 69. Yeah. Good times.
See, I'm glad you said all that and not me, because they'd have skewered me like a pig at a luau if I'd have said that.
Probably. Why?
Yeah. Oh, because I'm not supposed to be saying things like that.
Oh, but I am.
I guess.
It's all good.
Well, you can get away with it. Yeah,
I can. I can. And I know the players, and I feel like, yeah, it was a good 69 run right there.
Yeah.
69 moment, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good, all right. Good placement there.
Yeah, it was. There you go. There you go. See, I wish I could think of more things to say, but right now I'm just applauding that comment. Way to go, Gil.
Thank you very
much. It was a good placement.
Yep. We're not even going to go over the – okay, we'll gloss over the vitals. The only thing bad – I think
we kicked ass 4-0.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to make too much of it. But the only thing bad the Caps did, again, the power play, no good. Again, the face-off win percentage. This one was really awful. 64% win percentage by Ottawa. Oh, my goodness gracious. Jay Beagle, please help us now, wherever you are. But you would need to take a massive pay cut. Yeah, but other than that, like you said, though, dominant game by the Caps, where it counted.
But most importantly...
Most importantly, I was getting to it. The number one star of the game.
Yes.
Phoenix Copley with the 35 save performance.
Well, he faced
35 shots, which means he put up the clean sheet, the goose egg, the shutout, the blackishage, the zero, Mr. Zero. I can't come up with any other names for he shut them out. He shut them down. Let nothing pass him. No good.
But he looked damn fucking good on ice that night. Damn good. And I love it. I love it. Because you know what? The night before, Holpe was on fire, and I agree. Like, I think you tweeted or Facebook posted or whatever it is that you said, if, you know, the star doesn't go to Holpe, then what the hell? Holpe looked absolutely phenomenal against the Sabres. I mean, just exactly who we as fans were like, this is exactly why he's our goalie. And then you get into Copley, and awesome. I mean, the guy, I mean, I love seeing him in the net. I do. And I'm going to be a forever fan of his. because I think there's so much potential, and he's calm, and he's got a good vibe. There's just everything about Venus Copley that I just adore. So number one, absolutely, and well deserved.
Yeah, he's not flashy as far as promoting himself or the talking or anything, the interviews or anything like that. Where he is flashy is his play on the ice. That is where the man does the talking. And I, like you said, I so love that. So, pardon me very much. He's awesome. And he is, look, he might have cop in his name, but he is a thief. As far as stealing the win, stealing the game, stealing the saves, taking it all.
Stop.
That's what he did. He stopped them all game long.
Right. But don't. The cop these things. No. All right. So we recap the three games. Go on. What's next?
Right. Okay, so yes, we're done with that, and as we said, Caps come away with a 2-1 record. They still sit atop the Metropolitan Division. Yeah, thanks, Bettman. Way to not embarrass the league. Anyway, but the Caps still lead where it counts at the top of the division, and they've been on a pretty good run lately. So after their 3-0 week, they're 2-1, so that makes them 5-1 over the last 2 weeks, still sitting pretty, which is good. So, nothing to worry about. Whatever malaise or doldrums they were in or funk they were in earlier in the year, they've clearly gotten past. And this team is playing the way it should. For the most part, they can win the shootout games. They can win the, tight games and everything in between. So whoever was worried before, I hope you're still not, because you shouldn't be. And great. Again, at the end of the day, result.
Right.
Okay. So that was the week that was on the ice for the Capitals of Washington. We're going to focus now on the fans, and, again, hope all you listening at this moment, if you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas to you all. It is Christmas Eve as we are recording this. Want to turn our attention now to one of the fans and in particular one of the listeners. Now, we've mentioned the charity before that the Caps Fight Cancer. That was in all through October and November. Well, it doesn't stop there. Cancer doesn't get fought. Caps don't stop fighting cancer for just 1 month or when the month is over. Okay. Craig Lachlan's wife, of course, as has been documented, is fighting a rare type of cancer. Her fight continues. And as it happens, we have the wife of a listener who we want to put the spotlight on. Being Brian Bigham and Anna, I understand you have a lot more detail on this than I, so go ahead, please.
Okay. So Brian is, we have been, Facebook friends, however you want to call it, for the last year or so, definitely Caps oriented. I knew I adored this guy when we agreed on the Stewart clips from Mad TV, which my favorite, his favorite. So we definitely kind of bonded over that. And then, of course, the Capitals. And recently, a couple, Gil, I think I reached out to you a couple of days ago about this. His wife, Heather, was doing her friend was doing a Facebook Live episode of her in a salon, and she was getting her head shaved, and it was because she has been recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And you know what, all I can say is that I watched this video and I felt nothing but complete admiration and absolute respect and so much love for this woman that I don't know. But her positive vibe towards going towards, you know, you're losing your hair and you're going to shave it, and her infectious laugh and everything else, to me, was worthy on our podcast and everything else of any other kind of social media to let her know how much we're pulling for her and thinking of her and her family. You know, breast cancer is, it's such a bitch. And I've been through it with my family, and it just so happens that yesterday, and I know people are like, what, on a Sunday? But yeah, yesterday I had to have my annual mammogram, and I have to have it at a young age because it's in, or a younger age because I have it in my family. And I, so to see this woman sitting there very proud, and, you know, she looked gorgeous, and, you know, having it filmed, and her best friend also shaved her head. God, I love stories like this. So they're in Lawrence, Kansas. I believe the next chemo treatment is on, I want to say it's New Year's Eve. And then after that, it's about 12 weeks before they have to consider whether or not it will be a lumpectomy. Either way, whatever the situation is, Brian and Heather, we want you to know that we are pulling for you, thinking of you, sending positive vibes. Whatever you need, I wish we could do something on this end. But please know that the Power Play Point podcast is absolutely pulling for you this Christmas season and into 2019 for sure.
Totally. Absolutely. And yeah, we've both lost family members to different types of cancer. So yes, cancer is the ultimate enemy in this. And just like so many before, Heather, I just want to publicly say, I know you're going to kick cancer's ass on this one. So,
oh, yeah.
As Anna said, thoughts and prayers. And look, I don't want to minimize that, because positive energy does have a profound effect on things that are bad. You can turn around a bad situation simply through thought. And, you know, as long as that's not all you do, you have to marry that thought to an action. So, and that's what we're doing here, is making everyone aware of Heather's fight. And Brian, we're happy and thrilled and proud that you're one of our loyal listeners, and Anna's Facebook friend, and mine as well, for that matter. So we're putting it out there. We're putting the spotlight on you and Heather in a positive way. And these are good people fighting the good fight. And that's why they are deserving of the time that we give to this show. So thank you both for sharing your story with us. And we just want to put that out there to the world and to our listeners in the DMV and around the world. Please do lend your positive vibes, as so many of you have in the past, to this cause. This is a very deserving person. This is a very sweet and wonderful person that needs all of our combined strength to get through what's going to be a difficult time. I've never been through cancer myself, but I've witnessed people who have gone through it. It is pretty much the hardest thing to ever have to go through. I would not wish it on my own worst enemy. So
agreed. And I'm glad that we can, you know, at least discuss it here. And like you said, we're going to bring those positive vibes, and she's going to kick ass. I know she's going to, because if you haven't seen that Facebook video or Facebook Live, God, it's so worth watching.
We're gonna
love it.
We need to talk to Brian and see if he's willing to let us put it on our Facebook page and beyond, if we can.
That would be amazing. It's
something.
Well, in these days, like you said, if it's not breast cancer, you know somebody who's going through something, and it just seems to be that goddamn C word that everyone can relate to at some point, whether they lost somebody or know somebody currently who's going through it. And it's like, all right, it's just, you know what, Caps fans, we're just going to rally and kick ass and, you know, nothing but positive vibes. And anybody else out there that wants us to brighten someone's day, I, you know, DM Gail or myself or however you want to get a hold of us and let us know. And we will put a shout out there to this god awful, you know, fucking cancer.
Absolutely. And speaking of contacting us, let me put out my contact information. You can as well if you want, Anna, but I'm still willing to put out my personal email, which is glhallowed@yahoo.com. I'm also on, there's always the Facebook homepage. Just do a search on Power Play Point Podcast in all caps, of course, in Facebook. And also there's Twitter. I'm on Twitter at BLULINER98. That's at BLULANER98 to find me. And Anna, yours as well, if you want.
I am, I'm on the Power Play Point Podcast Facebook page. You can email me at abknox49@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram at aquanox75. And then, of course, why not just make it more difficult to remember all the names on Twitter at anox49. So anything, I'm always on social media, but anything, anybody out there wants a shout out for someone who's going through a hard time, Gail and I are there for you. And we definitely want to send love through the podcast waves.
And she's not just any Knox, she's a Knox. Remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Max 49.
Yep.
That sounds like a robot.
Definitely. okay. So we're winding down on time here. So we got two quick segments to go. Real quick, we're gonna go through the farm report.
What a world. For I don't the know week, how Don will take that, but that's okay. Sorry, Don.
For the week. Go ahead.
I was going to credit
him too. Yeah. Sorry, Don.
No.
For the week of.
Sorry for the intro.
For the week of December the 23rd in the year 2018, week 12 of the AHL season, as presented by listener Don McLaren. Okay, so the Bears had a game on Wednesday. This past Wednesday versus the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. That is the AHL affiliate of the Philadelphia Flyers, if you were curious. 5-0 loss. Oh, boy. Another loss in Allentown, PA. Yeah. Two shutouts. Not good. Moving on. Third game of that set was Friday. They come back home to Hershey, Pennsylvania against the Baby Penguins. And unlike the Capitals, they came away with a win against the Penguins. Much needed 3-2 win, he says. Goals on our end. Scarbosa again. Nathan Walker and Riley Barber. All three on the power play. Vanacek was in net, stopping 26 of 28. And the third of the set was the Bears again at home against Lehigh Valley again. Stop me if you've heard this before. Another loss. 6-1. Riley Barber gets the only goal. They managed to stop the two power play chances they were had against them, but as Don says, no other good news from this mess. Outstanding in their field, he says. Riley Barber had a heck of a week, 2 goals and 2 assists in the 3 games. His commentary is one of the few consistent players in the team. Hopefully, he merits a call up soon. That's my comment there. Defenseman Ryan Sproul has been effective addition to the blue line. 1 goal, 2 assists so far in his short term with the Bears. I think we already mentioned this. He says Tobias Geiser is away from the team because he is in Vancouver representing Switzerland. in the World Junior Championships there. And amongst the goalies, Vanecek had a bad outing in Lehigh Valley, bounced back with a stellar game on Friday. Samsonov, in his one game, not good. He says he's going to leave it at that. And says to cap it off, a roller coaster week, another roller coaster week in Chocolate Town. To steal words from Ovi, Bears are still trying to learn how to not be sucked this year. winds up that report. So yeah, unfortunately another struggling week for the Bears. So that's the farm report. Okay. So we are just about out of time here. And Anna, if you had no final thoughts, I wanted to get to my holiday greeting or my holiday wind-up.
I have no final thoughts. It's all you.
Okay. Well, okay. So for those of you, especially if you've been listening a long time, you know I usually end the show with a rather bad joke. Well, this holiday season, I have decided to go against that. And I have concocted a special holiday poem. Yes, I said concocted. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a story about that?
Sure. I thought you had no final thoughts, but go ahead.
No, but I do. I do. Only because I think this is one of these. I feel like I have shirt because how often do you use that word? I don't. And so when I was in college and I had friends that did stand-up comedy, and I remember after one of the shows, I was drinking with them and we were having this great time. And we were thinking of, you know, okay, hey, if you could come up with the name of a car that people would buy, you know, what would you name it? And everybody had like these superhero names. And I was like, oh, G-Spot. And I won the contest. Right. Because I was like, hey, I want like, you know, I want to, you know, black G-Spot, fully loaded, like, yeah, so that worked. And the second thing was, if you could name a porn movie, like anything that you wanted to name it, any name that you could come up with, and everyone, like, you know, kind of had their, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, or whatever it was, things, and I had a lot of, at the time, Rolling Rocks, I believe I was drinking in college, concoction was my porn movie name. How brilliant was that? And so to this day, I can't hear anybody saying that except winning a competition about what would your car name be and what would your porn movie be called. And yeah, concoction was it.
Okay.
So anyway,
yeah, all right, so with that, let me
go
see if
tight.
I can get through this in my slightly inebriated state. But as I said, I have concocted a poem, and it is based on the classic poem "Twas the Night Before Christmas," appropriately enough. So let me see how loudly and how lovely I can get through this in my state. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the DMV, Caps fans were everywhere, their hearts filled with glee. Memories still abound with the gleam in our eyes of the grandest of summers and hockey's greatest prize. With Anna gone commando, feeling both naughty and nice, we soon settled in for another year on ice. Opening night arrived, and the banner was raised. Players and fans alike filled the air with praise. Coach Reardon had a heart full of promise and longing, but soon found himself shorthanded after Tom Wilson's kabonging. Willie's absence would no doubt cause such a clatter. The question still remained, what the hell is the matter? The losses were piling up. It was a bad October. Whispers abounded, this is the dreaded Stanley Cup hangover. Then injuries, caused mostly by bad refereeing, sent visions of our glory days fast a-fleeing. Oshie, then Orpik, went down in a heap. Was there any punishment from the league? Nope, not a peep. The injustices made Bernie Deal's face redder till it matched the hue on his Caps home sweater. Curse this garbage and damn it all to heck, came from the throat of the genial Chris Levesque. Sonia Kendall and Diane Doyle both pleaded for calm and promised that winning would provide a much-needed balm. Then Wilson stormed back. his strong signature play clearly being missed. Opponents and rival fans alike began losing and got all pissed. Then the unthinkable, as Willie himself was knocked to the ice, his blood a-spillin', cheaply shotted by that dastardly Reeves, hockey's truest villain. All seemed lost, but then like a freak came Captain Ovechkin with a rousing scoring streak. Fans and writers from many other cities applauded. This guy still got it at 33, they lauded. Then, like a flash, a rally from the rest, playing with vim, vigor, and newfound zest. Oshie came back and quickly regained his touch. Hopefully his latest injury wasn't too much. Then came Vrana and Boyd, both having games to remember. And soon things were righted by the end of November. On Kano and Eller, Orlov and Kempe. On Yashkin, Kuznetsov, Carlson, and DSP. From top line to fourth and first pairing to last, the Caps had made losing a thing of the past. Both goalies sublime superheroes, doing what they do best, leaving the enemy with zeros. Robbie Gross and CP3 from Sports on the Hill declared this team was back with quite the thrill. Lest we forget, though, that it's we, the fans, that help keep things going. So let me name a few that I'm glad for knowing. Stephen Levesque, Elliot Thomas, Ron Schrantz, Kevin Simmons, and Tony O. These are all great gents that are supporting our show. Lisa Desabray, Savannah Schlott, Rochelle Wilcox, all loyal lady listeners who know what rocks. Lest I forget Don McLaren, whose reports on the farm have added to our show its own welcome charm. And for those of you I failed to mention, unfortunately I've run out of room in this farcical invention. So this Christmas tale is now on track. Heed the captain's declaration. We will not suck back to back.
Gil, that fucking rocked.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome.
Thank you very much.
God. Yes. Oh, I love it. Oh, good job. Not even a good job. Like, that's just kind of low.
Do I get a gold star from the teacher?
Yes. Yes. That was amazing. Way to go. I don't know.
I got a gold star out of the teacher and a laugh from my stepson, the producer. So, and a sitting ovation. A standing ovation. Oh, thank you.
Jeffrey, I couldn't agree more. My God, that was awesome. Absolutely awesome. So we definitely have to tell those people to listen because they will love that. You got to post that somewhere or post it on our Facebook page.
Oh, I will.
Oh my God, that was great. And
truly, truly, for anyone I did forget, I do apologize. There are probably many, many out there that do listen to the show. I just came up with the names that came up first, but you know, I know there's a lot of you out there. I do apologize, and I do want to mention real quick with what little time we have left, our significant others. Ian Knox for Anna and my wife Jenny, Mrs. Blue Liner. I do want to thank them both right now for putting up with what all they put up with. And I know it's been a lot lately as we've trying to grow the show. So I want to publicly thank them both right now for putting up with what all they have to because of us doing this. And for you, the loyal listener, wherever you are, thank you so much. And I hope you have a great holiday season as we roll into 2018.
2019.
That's what I meant.
I know.
Sorry, it's the beer talking.
I feel the same way. Your wife has been amazing and patient and supportive, as has Ian and my kiddos. And I'm so appreciative of that because I go back to back on Monday nights and I know it can be annoying. But they have been a great support for me. Gil, I am thankful for you and give me this opportunity to come on the air with you.
As am I for you.
And it was nothing but, you know, good vibes, good health, good hockey, good whatever in 2019 for everybody. I'm really looking forward to just, you know, another year. I know some people they can kind of dread turning the calendar. I'm all about embracing it because, you know, what's the alternative at this point?
Right, exactly.
I'm all on board.
Exactly.
I'm all on board. And, you know, that's it. I'm excited, and I know we're off next week, so our first episode, I'm assuming, will be in 2019.
That it will. That it will. We are taking a break for a New Year's, so don't usually skip time, but yeah, it makes the most sense. So do please take the time to enjoy. Hopefully you have time off, you listening on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you. Do please take some time to celebrate what hopefully has been a great year. And if not, look forward to a brand new year full of promise. The future always holds some good things, I would think, for all of us. So yes, do please take a step back, take a breath, and take a pause, and then make that good first step into the new year. And I really hope to see you there. I hope everyone who's listening, keep it up. We do really appreciate it. And keep the comments and the ratings coming. Want to thank you all so much. So Anna, I know you've got some hostessing to do, so I will not hold you up any longer. Without any further ado, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for 2018. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be out with another show in 2 weeks, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.